This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
Tom Wilmer reporting from Red Wings Horse Sanctuary.
My name is Desiree. I'm the office manager at Red Wings Horse Sanctuary. Our mission is to rescue abused and neglected horses. Primarily, our horses come from animal services, but they also come from a variety of situations that are at risk. So we have burros and mustangs from the Bureau of Land Management. We also have a partnership that are not neglected horses, but with the race industry. There is another nonprofit we partner with called Karma, and we get a lot of off-track thoroughbreds from that program, and they need some rehabilitation.
Are they done, or sometimes they are rehabbed
mostly,
and they go back?
They have been taken from off the track. They're done with their careers on the track, and some of them come to us with a variety of small injuries, but you know, they need a little time off to be a horse. And then basically we prepare them to be trail horses or, you know, light performance horses. Mm-hmm. And they kind of make up the bulk of our foster to adopt program.
So you're located way out in the middle of nowhere in Monterey County.
We are, yes.
So you're not too far from Hunter Liggett, the Army base, and the town of Lockwood.
If you know where Lake San Antonio is and Lake Nacimiento, we are past those two lakes in the little town of Lockwood.
And it follows that one of the reasons you're here is because availability of acreage.
That's right. Our sanctuary was founded in 1991, and we were originally in the Carmel, Monterey area. Mm-hmm. That land the owners wanted to sell, and then at that time, a board member who is just wonderful purchased this property for our use. Yeah.
But now going forward, I seem to recall that you're in the planning stages of moving your operation to outside of Paso Robles.
So it's going to be off of Union Road and the 46 in Paso, kind of nestled in with some of the wineries there. We are very excited about the move. We're waiting for the final stages of our construction permits to come in, but we have gotten some building materials delivered, so we are just anxious to break ground.
And when you move, you're still going to have the luxury of some decent acreage?
Yes, we are on 146 acres
that
at
works.
The new sanctuary. Yeah, here we're 167, but we use about 100 acres here.
And I would think that a really cool advantage of your location going forward would be visual awareness as drive-bys and whatnot. For example, I only know about you because when I'm on my way to Army Base Headquarters at Hunter Liggett, I go by your turnoff and I see your sign. I go, ooh, what's that?
That's exactly right. You know, since we are in a rural location, we have some very loyal volunteers who've been coming for years, but we're hoping off of the 46 and in the Paso Robles community, we'll get more volunteers from the Central Coast. We'll get people stopping on the wine trail and saying, hey, we want to do something other than taste wine today.
Let's take a little tour around.
Sure. All righty, let's get going.
It's a warm day here, huh?
Yeah, it is. I think it's going to be about 100, 102 today.
Yeah, I think we already hit that one.
Yeah, so I'll take you around. We have our inner barn area here. And these are the horses that need a little extra special care. They are in this area because they're closest to us. Some of them have visual impairment.
Closest to us, meaning what?
Closest to the office.
Okay, right.
Closest to our hay and our feed, so it's easy for us to go check on them first thing.
So their needs are greater?
Yeah, that's right. So we're pulling up here, and we have a couple of horses that have some health issues. So Anna on your right, she is fully blind. She's an Appaloosa, which is kind of a white with brown spots,
yeah.
A beautiful coat color. She is one of our sweetest old ladies. And this horse here, his name is Don't Stalk Me, and he is one of the off-track thoroughbreds I mentioned. So he's here in our quarantine area because he's just come from the program, and he is going to be evaluated. We have a strict quarantine policy here, so any horse that comes in new can't be nose-to-nose with any other horse. And we just keep him here before he goes out with the big herd. So once
and that has to do with socialization?
It's more for our equine care manager. Her name is Sarah Ruggeroni. She is going to evaluate his behavior, figure out which other horses he might be best in. As we travel a little further, we're going to go down what we call Thoroughbred Alley, which is where we have some larger turnouts, larger pastures, and he will probably go in with two or three other horses. But we kind of have to figure out how his injuries are progressing. Does he need more stall rest? Some of the horses who are here have been to the vet, and the vet has said they need to not be running around for a little while. So that's why he's here. Little Oliver over here, I'll just pull up a little bit. He came from a recent abuse and neglect case in San Luis Obispo County.
Oh, is that the one where you had to take in like 20 or so?
Yeah, there were 34 horses total. We ended up taking six of those, and I believe there are 10 or so still to be placed. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But we took the ones that were least likely to be adopted. Oliver had never had any good care. He'd never been dewormed, never had his vaccine, so he has some liver issues and ongoing health issues from that.
Was Oliver, is that the one that last time I was here had the bad coat?
And, yeah, he did. When they came in, him and Will drive by some others from the same case, their coats were mottled, hair was falling out. He had some parasitic worms, unfortunately. It's what happens when you... you need to make sure your horses get proper care, dewormed.
Oliver looks pretty cool now.
Thank you. So, and the mask you see is not because he is blind. It's just for fly protection, yeah. Although Anna and some of our blind horses wear them all the time just to protect
them. And how did Anna go blind?
You know, we are not sure what happened to her before she was rescued. She was also from an abuse and neglect case in the Sierra foothills, where she was essentially left in some high manure, just in a small stall. So when we got her here, she needed to have some eye surgery. So, and we'll loop around this way first, and on the way back, we'll go back. We have some other horses in the inner barn area. These horses that we're seeing here, they are from the Pryor Mountains in Montana. So they were a herd of wild Mustangs that we took, I believe, the year 2000.
Was this through BLM?
They were originally, I believe they were government BLM Mustangs, but they were actually from a herd in Montana. Mm-hmm. Our other Mustangs have come from the Devil's Garden herd in Northern California. But this herd, they're all in 19 or in their 20s now. Mm-hmm. So we have had them for, many years. The ones you see in front, they have some special feed requirements. So they're separated out from the rest of the herd while they're feeding. But you can kind of see some big oak trees in the background and the rest of the herd kind of relaxing on the hill back there.
They look related.
I believe they all are. They were a family group that was, we were contacted about them. A kind gentleman had actually adopted them from the government, and then he was unable to care for them on the small amount of land that he had, so they were brought here.
Since these are senior horses, mm-hmm. and they were wild Mustangs, mm-hmm. is there any hope of them being adopted out, and what could their use be?
This particular herd, they are what we call semi-feral, so they will never be adopted. Our equine care staff can handle them, mm-hmm. but sometimes some of them have to be, say, darted by the mm-hmm. vet for their vaccines, but most of them can be caught in a catch pen.
There's a word, uh-huh. breaking a horse,
yes.
which is kind of an awful word if
yeah.
you think about it.
Uh-huh.
Are they halterable?
These ones, most of them are halter broke, I believe. But the other, I will show you at the end of our tour there, we have two other Mustangs that are going to be adoptable. Mm-hmm. And they came from the Devil's Garden herd in Northern California, and they came to us completely feral. But they are now halter broke. They can stand for the farrier, pick up their feet mm-hmm. and get a little trim. And they will be probably broke to ride in the next year.
And who would be a typical adoptee that would take on?
For a Mustang, we do need an experienced
yeah.
adopter. So we are looking for people who have horse experience. Mustangs make great, reliable trail horses. If we go on a little further, we do have some Mustangs that were actually part of the Border Patrol. And so from what I understand, the Border Patrol is using more and more Mustangs because of their sure-footedness. You know, we do everything we can to support the plight of the Mustangs. A lot of people are interested in adopting them, but you do need a specialized trainer to help you. They've never been around people, so they have to learn that we're friendly and we're going to give them carrots and love. And actually, it looks like Red and Max are turned out. These are our Border Patrol Mustangs, but I will drive you by them.
And why does the Border Patrol turn them over to you?
For their retirement. Mm-hmm. So we have a good partnership with them. We have taken, I believe, 4 horses from them. Red and Max, who are still here, they are permanent residents just because of their age. You know, we are lucky in that we have gotten some senior horses adopted. We've had 4 senior horses over 20 adopted in the past quarter, so we're really proud of that.
The adoptees, what do they just have them live on their land and take care of them?
Yeah, you know, some people call them pasture pets, but often they will have a horse. Maybe they have 2 horses, and one of their horses has passed away from old age, and they are looking for a companion for that horse. So that's the most frequent reason a senior gets adopted.
That's a question for you. Last time I was here, you were showing me a couple that they were buddies.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes a difference in their lives. They're very much more social animals than one would imagine.
Oh, they definitely are social. They are, you know, they live in herds in the wild, and that instinct is still here, and it doesn't go away. Some of them have different attachments than others, but some do become very bonded. So if a horse is adopted out, you will hear them whinnying and calling for each other when their friend leaves. But they are adaptable animals. You know, in the wild, they have to adjust all the time. You know, they will get used to it and make new friends. So we don't worry about them too much. And I'll just point out these 3 coming up. These are also from the same San Luis Obispo County rescue. And we really have to thank Animal Services in Slo County. They have a really difficult job of actually going in and being the ones who are seizing animals and taking them out of those terrible situations. And then we step in to offer them rehabilitation here. So these 3, Firecracker, Kai, and Sally, are our 3 newest rescues. They just came in about a month ago.
Is that an Appaloosa?
She is an Appaloosa. And actually, like Anna, who you saw, she has some visual issues that are happening. It is, from what I understand, something that is common to the breed.
So genetic.
It can be. You know, it can also be conditions, but I understand they're more susceptible from what I've learned from our equine care team. And I will just open up this gate quickly. This is what we call Draft Hill. So we have some of our draft horses here, and there are our big buddies. Close it after us. We'll get back on the cart. I'm gonna just close it after us. Not that anyone will come down, but
you never know.
You want to be careful. It's a little bit like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, so you gotta hang on.
A little bonus adventure.
Yeah. So this is our Draft Hill area. I think they have one of the most beautiful pastures on the property, dotted with oak trees, and, you know, they're kind of free to roam up here. And it looks like they're hiding from us a little bit behind one of their favorite oak trees.
I think they're liking the shade right now, too.
Yes, they are. We won't go up too close to, you know, so as not to frighten them, but I will point out their names and tell you a little bit about their stories. So the light-colored horse on the right, that is Lover Boy, and he is very shy. And then we have Melissa is the black horse on the right. And then Scarlet is the one in the middle. Scarlet's the most friendly, probably checking us out, wondering if we have treats. Mm-hmm. So these horses were all rescues from an auction in Canada. There was, and I'm not the full expert on this.
Was it a rescue auction?
Yeah. So, you know, your listeners may remember there was a drug named Premarin that is still used, but it's not as common anymore. It's a drug for estrogen replacement, and it's actually shorthand for pregnant mare urine. So the way that this drug was originally made was they would keep horses like Scarlet. She actually has, you won't be able to see it from where we're sitting, but she has a number tattooed on her side. They were actually kept in stalls, weren't able to move around very much, and that urine was collected. The offspring from keeping them pregnant at all times to gather that urine were often discarded and sent to auction. So you know, two of our horses are offspring from Premarin horses, and one was actually used in production.
Do they still do that?
They do, but from what I understand, it's not as common anymore. From what I understand, it's not happening in the U.S. as much anymore, but other countries, I believe, are still using those drugs. And I know a synthetic has been primarily used to replace that. But these ones were rescued at the time that many of those farms shut down, a lot of horse rescues.
So of your residents here, some are rescues that are not adoptable.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
They will live out their life here.
That's right. I'd say probably 70 to 80% of our herd are what we would call sanctuary residents. You know, we do adoptions and we offer sanctuary, and essentially we evaluate horses as they come in and kind of decide if we think they're here for life or if they might be adoptable. And that's based on health issues they may have or their age, and if we think it's just time for them to have a calm life.
If somebody was interested in adopting one of your horses,
yep,
what's the basic process and what would be the cost?
You would have to come here to the sanctuary, meet with our equine care manager, and then you would meet the horse that you're interested in. Actually, we have a form online. It doesn't obligate you to adopt from us, but it just gives us a little more information about what you're looking for in a horse so we can see if we can match it to a horse we have or keep an eye out for a horse we might have coming in. Once you fill out the form, Sarah will give you a call and set up an appointment. At the appointment, we'll meet that horse, see if you mesh. If you do, you can put a foster hold on that horse, and then you have kind of first choice of that horse. If it's a riding prospect, you would set up an appointment. Sometimes the horses have not had quite enough riding hours on them before we release them. We want to make sure that every horse is safe and ready for their next career. So sometimes you would put a foster hold on, and then you would need to come back a couple weeks later and try riding the horse under our manager's care. Companion animals, we do the same process, but you wouldn't ride them. And then one important thing to note is that we have a foster to adopt program. So anyone who would like to own one of our horses, you agree to foster that animal for a 1-year period. You do a quarterly check-in with us.
But the horse stays here.
No, the horse actually goes with them.
Oh, it does.
So
okay.
It's actually just like as if you were adopting that horse, taking it home as your own. But it's just a safeguard to make sure, you know, since a lot of our horses have a neglect background, to make sure that they're going to a safe place. We do an inspection of your property before they go to you.
So a foster period, and then everything's good, and then they can get permanent.
And then it is, the paperwork is filled out, and it's formally adopted, and that horse is yours.
Is there a fee for adoption?
We don't do a fee for adoption. We feel that since they are fostering for a year and caring for that horse for a full year, all of its vet expenses, dentals, everything, we feel that that's showing commitment and that we don't need to charge an additional fee. And you have monthly check-ins, you know, just a quick survey to make sure everything is going okay. And then we have quarterly inspections by our staff during that 1-year period. Everything looks good in the inspection. And it's also for the foster families in case they have questions. You know, we are a wealth of knowledge, an open door. Our goal is for the foster and the adoption to be successful and the horse to have a forever home.
On an annual basis, can you guesstimate how many horses are fostered?
I believe we have, you know, between 10 and maybe 15 or 17 a year that go out. It just depends on the year. And if they see the feed truck, they're right there.
I know people have had horses where they're companions, mm-hmm, and the one horse takes care of the other. One horse might be blind. Have you had that where one is compassionately caring for the other horse?
Yeah, we have seen that. Actually, we have two horses here. One's name is Aloni, and he is fully blind, and he really relies on his companion who is right next door to him. He follows her around. They're turned out together. They do really make a wonderful pair. And we were talking about seniors, and just to to say, sometimes we will mark a horse as a companion animal, and then they end up getting adopted. So this draft herd we were just up with, we had one horse who was 20, and she was a big, beautiful draft. Drafts are more expensive, so we didn't think anyone would adopt her, and she was just adopted. So,
I met that horse.
Oh, did you?
Yeah,
oh,
last time. Yeah, and had the big, giant hooves.
And... yes, and she was kind of a, she's called a strawberry roan. One of our volunteers who had been volunteering here with her for about 5 years finally got her own property.
In the little worker vehicles that go by, those are paid employees?
Yes, we have 10 employees total. We have 5 ranch hands who really work hard to keep this place spotless. You know, there's always going to be manure around a horse sanctuary, but we, you know, we clean stalls daily, check waters. We also bathe the horses and keep them all in top condition. And the ranch hands also take care of all the ranch maintenance. Weed control, all of that.
So. Fence maintenance.
Fence maintenance, anything, all of our, we have a rose garden in front, and we do have a small memorial garden where people have put plants to commemorate their pets and some horses that have passed here.
So this is a nonprofit, and this is a huge overhead.
Yep.
How do you fund it? You know, how does that work?
We rely solely on donations. So we have some very generous monthly donors who support us. We have been really lucky, and we're so grateful for some people who have left us in their estate or their trust. So we've benefited from some of those donations.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's an ongoing process.
Oh, completely ongoing. We're always trying to seek new ways to raise money. And it is difficult out here when we don't have as much foot traffic as we would want.
But again, that will change for a positive when you go to Paso. When do you think reasonably... time frame that will happen?
I think we estimate about a year. I think once we break ground, it'll be fairly quick. You know, we have our engineering's all complete. We're kind of ready to go as soon as we get the green light. But there's a lot to consider. I think our move, actually moving all of these horses. The physical move, I think, will take us maybe longer than we expect, especially, you know, horses that, like Anna, who are used to their small little... Their area, and then their turnout area. They have been here for years. And
so they don't remember trailer.
Some of them, that is exactly right. Many of them have not been trailered in years if they're sanctuary residents. So, you know, we've gotten a lot of people offering to help us with the actual trailer portion. But I know we will be doing it in phases. So we'll be moving small groups at a time. We will probably be splitting our staff between the two locations at that time. Oops, sorry.
Mr. Toad's wild ride continues.
It does. These are our trusty golf carts. And as you can see, since it is, the ranch is kind of a large circle, and it is, like you said, warm out here, so it's a lot nicer to travel on a cart. We're passing our round pen. When we move to the sanctuary, our plans are to have a larger arena. But this is where our thoroughbreds and any horse that's in the foster program, where they do most of their training with our equine care manager. We're passing one of our Kubotas. Hi, Juan. All right. The two Mustangs you see here, they are some of the older Mustangs from the herd from the prior mountains that you saw at the beginning. And horses do tend to pick on some of the older ones in the wild. So they have been removed from the herd just because they require some, they have some other health needs. But they are companions and doing quite well together. This is what I mentioned earlier. This is our thoroughbred alley. So most of these thoroughbreds have come from the Karma Placement Program. This is Johnny B. Bueno. He's a beautiful gray horse. Everyone's a little taken with his color, but he's available through our Foster to Adopt program. And most of these horses, we have Papa Royal here and Royal Gambler. Royal actually was one of the few that didn't come from Karma. He came from another rescue that had rescued him from auction, and that rescue had closed down, so we took some of their horses in. But these guys are all, as you can see, big, beautiful. They have good muscle tone. They're definitely, you can imagine them running around a track.
Yeah, long legs. It'll go at about 16 pounds.
Yeah, I think 16 or more, depending on the horse. Some people are very particular about height, and we come out and measure.
Why would that be?
I think they want a horse, you know, if you're a tall person, you want a horse that will fit you and be comfortable. So some people have had horses in the past and know kind of their range. We're passing some of our other thoroughbreds. Jolito here, he has been here a little while, and he was a candidate for adoption, but he's recently, we discovered he had an eye cancer, and it was fast growing. So we actually had to have one of his eyes surgically removed. But he is, you know, you wouldn't really know it. He's back in the herd. Horses are resilient animals. So he has gotten used to sight with just one eye. And I think, you know, we're probably not going to be able to adopt him except as a companion. But just a happy story that we caught that in time. I will point out Eugene, and he is one of our special babies. He's a beautiful chestnut, and he has he's about, I believe, 3 years old. We got a call about him that he was going to be euthanized when he was just a baby. He had a bone chip in his hock, which is kind of the back part. There you can kind of see. And his owners had put a lot of money into him, thinking he was going to be a thoroughbred, a race champion, and they didn't want to put any more money into him. So we had a fundraiser last year, and we raised the amount we needed for our surgery. So I just want to thank all of our supporters who helped give him a second chance.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And so now he's actually gone to pony school at Cal Poly. We just want to give them a shout out for their wonderful program that trains some of our horses and their student trainers. But he is, you know, basically ready for his new home.
Very cool.
Yeah. This herd here is comprised of a couple of older thoroughbreds. We have one, this is Center of Attention, and her owners are really wonderful, and she had been used for breeding after she had a successful career, and then they found placement for her at our sanctuary. And she's just a wonderful girl who has produced, you know, quite a few race winners. Apollo is our black horse here. He's been here for many years. A lot of our volunteers are drawn to him. He's just a beautiful boy. And Topaz, the white horse, she's kind of the leader of this herd, and she has, I'd say, one of the more harrowing neglect or abuse stories. She was originally used for horse tripping, which is an illegal sport where they, you know, actually, it's used in rodeos. It's outlawed in the U.S.
What are they doing
there? They actually catch the horses and try to trip them, and, you know, horses are, it's a terrible practice.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, so she, you know, with time, we categorize all of our horses by level 1, 2, and 3 by how easy they are to deal with. And so she's a level 2, so our volunteers have to be specially trained to work with horses with that kind of a background. In order to be a volunteer here, you have to take our level 1 training.
And define level 1, 2, and 3.
Level 1 are basically, you know, they are docile as could be. Anyone can go in and groom them. You just need to have basic horse handling skills. So if you take our training class that we offer about once a month, it's about an hour and a half to 2 hour class. You learn how to halter, you learn how to lead, you learn how to groom. And those are always done with our level 1 horses. After you complete the class, you're able to come back and groom anytime. And then level 2 and 3, it's not that they're bad horses or that you can't handle them. They just often have neglect backgrounds, or maybe they're young horses and they're a little unpredictable. So they need a little more training with our staff before you can comfortably handle them. This is Cloud and Winston. I will just mention that we do not often take horses from owner surrender, and that is just because we would be full in a week. But we do make special exceptions. Cloud's owner passed away. She and her family contacted us before they did, but you know, in cases where someone is terminally ill, or, you know, and she had rescued horses her whole life, so Cloud, we wanted to give a special place here and honor that family. And Winston, he is one of our level 1 horses, and he is just a love. He's a companion-only horse as well. But if you're volunteering here, Cloud and Winston are probably some of the first horses that you will go in and meet. We are passing Jack, Jack, Angel, and Cooper. Cooper was also taken from the San Luis Obispo County seizure a couple of months ago. Here's Cooper right here, looking, as we would say, fat and happy. You know.
Wow, what a transformation.
Yeah, and he had the same mottled coat.
Yeah, not anymore.
Not anymore. He looks, as we like to say, shiny, and he's gotten along with the herd really well. I will just point out on this side, this group of thoroughbreds we have evaluated, and they will most likely be companion only, and that's because, you know, they've come up lame, and we do multiple vet inspections, but they're still lovely horses, and we have a lot of volunteers who interact with them. Coming up, we have our Mustang ladies. So these are the ones I mentioned earlier. Beauty is the white horse, so she was originally with the Prior Mountain group, but like some of the others that I pointed out, she was picked out a little bit in the herd, so we removed her to a group that has more of her same feeding, more of her same temperament, so they get along better together. And actually, we can probably walk over and Firefly might come up to us. Oops. Let's walk a little. Hey, Fly. Come here. She's going to be disappointed when I don't have carrots for her. So you can see Firefly on the side of her neck has a very prominent tattoo.
Yeah.
That is a Bureau of Land Management tattoo. So Fly and her mom Estrella, who are the two black horses, they were part of a Bureau of Land Management roundup in the Devil's Garden herd. Your listeners have probably heard a lot about the Mustang roundups. Fly was actually born in a BLM holding pen. So when they came to us, you know, these two, we did have a Mustang trainer who donated some of her time to us before they came, which we're very grateful for. But, you know, see how I'm putting my hand up, and they are asking for carrots, to be sure. When they arrived,
where's the carrot?
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, you guys. When they arrived, they definitely wouldn't let you touch them. Oh, and what she's doing there.
What is that?
That's called, I believe, a phlegm response. So they'll sometimes do that. We give them peppermint treats sometimes. So if it's an unusual smell or an unusual taste, it doesn't mean they don't like it. It just means that they're, you know, having a response to it. No bites. So Fly is our youngest horse at the sanctuary. She will probably go to pony school next spring.
Tell us about pony school briefly.
So we have a partnership with Cal Poly, and they, I believe it's through their animal science department, and they have students who actually, under the supervision of an expert, will break horses. Mm. And so I believe that is open. I'll have to double check, but I believe it's open to the public as well. But we send some of our horses there every year to, you know, to be saddle broke. And that's just because, you know, we have one person, and then one person who does all of our rehab full time. So, you know, we have 70 horses here on site. That's a lot of horses to take care of. So she doesn't have always the time to break every single horse. So we always find experts who can.
Yeah,
and we do have, you'll notice, we always like to point out that we have shade in every pasture, which is very important if you're considering becoming a horse owner, and salt as well. It's important for them to all have salt blocks, and of course, clean water. So, you know, these two, Firefly and Estrella, are available to an experienced home, and you know, we really hope to see them adopted after they're broke to ride. She'll make a beautiful trail horse.
So every day, did each of the horses get some exercise for
they,
sure?
They do. So some of our horses, like the thoroughbreds, are in large pastures, like you saw. So
To begin with.
So they get plenty of running around, but we do try to exercise them. Mm-hmm. And then the other horses, like the ones I showed you in the pens at the beginning, we have a turnout for each set of pens. So they go out for 2 to 3 hours, you know, pretty much every day. We lead them out, and those areas we keep grassy. You'll notice our sprinkler going and trying to keep some grass on out here, and that's really so they can stretch their legs. We usually turn them out about two horses together, so they have a little time on the grass.
Cool.
Yeah, and that's important. It's important for horses to have time out of their stalls. and to be able to act like regular horses. I'll point out Katrina here is a former brood mare. So our team is always impressed by how much horses forgive. But some horses always have a trouble learning to trust again, and Katrina is one of those horses. You know, she was used for breeding for so many years that some of our special volunteers who've been here a long time have really gained her trust. But she prefers to be without people and without other horses for the most part.
Oh, interesting.
You know, she'll be friendly over the fence with them, but she can be a little bit aggressive when other horses are in with her. So we try matching.
But she's doing really good than her now.
But she's fine. She's not that she's a mean horse. She's not mean, but she just...
Solitary.
You know, if you go in and bring her carrot, maybe she'll come to you. Maybe she won't. She kind of prefer you leave it on the ground for her and that, you know, you don't brush her. So, but one of our volunteers has been here a very long time and has gained her trust. And
can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So it just takes a little while. And some of them, you know, just choose their people. This is kind of one of our last big herds here. We call this group the Gangsters, and they are named that for a reason.
So would that be like an outlaw horse?
Yeah, I guess these guys can be a little bit of trouble. not that they are bad horses. They are all good horses. They just have personalities, mm-hmm. and they're a little bit rough and tumble. So we have Strider over here. We have Geronimo, and we have Dakota is, again, the Appaloosa with that pretty coat.
Yeah.
And Galen is the Chestnut. So these guys, like I said, they're the rough and tumble bit.
You're gangster horses.
Yeah, and Galen was actually in with Katrina, who we just passed, and he decided that he wanted to be a gangster. So one morning, our team came in, and he had somehow let himself in through the fence, and we thought, well, he survived the night with this lot. He's okay.
How funny.
We left him in there. He's still the lowest man on the totem pole mm-hmm. in the horse pecking order, but he's getting along, so...
Very cool.
And I will point out Dakota's story as well. He's our Appaloosa here. You can see that one side of his lips are kind of hanging.
Yeah, what's that about?
Yeah, he was rescued by Santa Barbara Animal Control from, again, a neglect situation. We're not sure what happened to Dakota in his past, but we do know that he has nerve damage on one side of his face. So when we first got him, you know, he was a little slower to eat, but as you can see, he's doing just fine now. He basically has paralysis on one side of his face. So we do keep his fly mask on at all times to protect his eye.
Where are we now?
We are in our med room. So this is where we have equine care staff who prepare the daily medications. You can see all of the horses' charts here. It'll say what their illness or injury is. Like this one is Cooper. He has an old fracture and arthritis. So he gets a medication that's essentially like a pain medication daily. And it just depends... on the horse.
Sure.
But they prepare it. It's all organized and sanitized. And then, most importantly, we have our fridge with carrots.
Oh, the important stuff.
Yeah, and, carrots are used by us and our volunteers, you know, to give a special treat. But they're also important to give daily medications. Our equine care assistant, if he needs them to come up close to him, mm-hmm. He does use carrots as a little
temptation
to sweeten the deal. And we do cut them up just because we have a lot of seniors here, so we want to make sure nobody takes too big of a bite. Mm-hmm. And also to stretch it out so it goes a little further. And we do have, a lot of volunteers who bring carrots with them when they come, but I'd say it's, you know, an expense that we have all the time that's probably the most important, the horses would say. We do have, it's very small, but this is a little education center here. So if you were to take our volunteer class, we have you come in here and watch a little snippet of a video. And then when we have kids groups, we use Harry the horse. That is right here. He's a black model of a horse, and it just shows the anatomy of a horse.
Cool.
We're coming up to our burrows. We're walking into their large pasture.
They're walking into you.
Yeah, they're walking to me because they see this bucket that I have with carrots. So this is Jenny. The rose-colored one is Lucky, and coming up on the rear is Brownie. Hi. Hi, Jenny. And burros, they're the same animal as donkeys. So we call them burros just because that's the term used when they're wild or have come from wild situations, as these ones have. Oops. So these burros have all come from Bureau of Land Management. This is Brownie. She is the oldest animal at the sanctuary.
Wow, how old?
She is 41 years old.
Wow.
And what's amazing about Brownie is she's not on any medication. She's just one tough lady. And she and Jenny originally came in. They were pregnant and had also had their babies. Jenny had her baby Sage here, who was later adopted out. And we are getting ready in the next couple of months to adopt some more burros. You can see that we only have three, and so we've contacted BLM about adopting some
and
more
burros.
That's
pretty much your source for burros.
It is, yeah. They mostly come from Bureau of Land Management in Ridgecrest. Mm-hmm. They do, you know.
And are these descendants of gold miner burros?
I think so. You know, I don't know the full history, but I do know, you know, unfortunately, wild horse population, we definitely want there to be more sterilization of wild horses. But for right now, we want to do what we can to support the animals that are there. They deserve good homes. And there are actually a lot of people who are interested in owning a burro or a donkey. They are really good guard animals. So if you have goats or chickens, your burros will stand guard. So we have a lot of ranchers out here who are interested in having some. And they're, as you can see, just once they are tamed, they're really docile, wonderful animals with big, floppy, fluffy ears. And as long as you've got some carrots, they're your best friend. So it's kind of incredible that they all came from Death Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Survivors.
They really are. So Lockwood, I guess, is nothing to them. Sorry, Brownie.
Yeah, good carrot, huh?
That's it.
So you brought a brush with you.
I did. So not all of them. I've actually, I was talking about trust earlier, and I've kind of gotten Brownie to trust me, so I can just brush her head a little bit. But if I were to brush Brownie's side, she would not like that,
really?
And she would run away.
Wow.
But Jenny, Jenny doesn't mind. She'll let anyone brush her. So Jenny we often use for our volunteers. You know, I didn't bring a halter
and
with
how
me.
How old's Jenny?
No, I would have to double check that. I believe she's in her teens, late teens, I believe. And the same with Lucky. So, you know, as you can see, the burro hair is a little wire, or burro coat is a little wiry.
Yeah.
They were out in the dust here, so they get really dusty. But most of them just really, really like a little attention.
Well, it's probably nice scratching.
Yeah, it does. And you will sometimes see horses and burros scratching on the fence posts. And it's just, you know, just like what we would do if we had an itch. Yeah.
Jenny totally likes it.
Yeah, Jenny loves it. She's our resident. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good girl. If you don't have horse experience, which I didn't really before I started working here, my recommendation would be, after you take our class, to come work with the burros first. They're a little more manageable. You're taller than them, so it doesn't feel as intimidating. And then you know, get used to working with a horse-like animal before you move on to grooming horses. One important thing we would point out in our class is that you always want a horse or a burro to know where you are. So if I were to go around the backside, you want to have your hand on them so they don't kick you.
Yeah.
So then they know where you are. Or you want to be, you know, a far distance away.
So
that you're out of the kick zone. Even if they're a good horse and a, you know, well-trained, you never know what could spook an animal. You know, just like a dog or a cat. This is primarily what volunteers here would do. You know, they come in, give them a little love. We do have a full-time staff, but, you know, with 70 horses on site, that's a lot to see. You know, we see them all every day, but we want them to get as much attention as possible. So you would come, grab a brush, halter them up, give them a little love. You'd pick up and clean their feet, or just give them a little attention. Yeah.
They're loving it. Jenny's loving it.
Yeah, Jenny loves it. She's a good girl.
Well, thank you so
Yeah,
much. What
you're
a
welcome.
great day on the range.
Yeah, thank you for coming out to our sanctuary. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Yeah. So if somebody wanted to learn more.
If they want to learn more, you can. We're open for tours Tuesdays through Saturdays. Unless you're a big group, you don't need to make a reservation. Just come on by. And then we also have Instagram. We're on Facebook.
And what's your call sign?
Red Wings Horses.
Red Wings Horses, plural.
Yes, that's right. My name is Desiree, and I am the office manager at Red Wings Horse Sanctuary.
Desiree, thanks again.
Yeah.
Wonderful day.
Thanks so much for coming.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
All right, I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Red Wings Horse Sanctuary. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org.